May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This woman was in trouble. And she came to Jesus. And what's recorded for us, his conversation and his response to her, is instructive to us. It's, as I have in the notes, it's a mystery too. But there's a lot that this lady, this woman, can teach us. As Jesus says at the end of the reading, her faith is great. And that is really emphasized in the Greek text, is great. And remember, that's like contrast, it is a contrast, to what he said to the disciples who saw him walking on water, and Peter, who he enabled to walk on water, you have little faith. That's not the case with this woman. She has great faith. So when we read these words, and commentators don't have all kinds of ideas what to do with Jesus' response to the woman. First of all, as I mentioned there, as I noted there, it's always a bit dangerous to tell Jesus, I didn't get what you meant by Jesus. Did you really want to say it that way, Jesus? What did you really mean there, Jesus? And then you come up with all kinds of ideas of what he actually really meant. So when he says to this woman after she calls out for mercy and explains her situation that her daughter is severely oppressed by demons, he doesn't answer her and the disciples complain to send her away. He says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She still says, Lord, help me. And then he says that it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus, did you really mean to say it that way? Well, so what's going on in that language? Some would see a disrespect to the woman, and so you have to figure out what Jesus really meant here. Some commentators will say, well, when he says, yet, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs. He said in verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And in the Greek, it's kind of a diminutive form. So some commentators say, well, not throw it to the puppies. Now, is calling her a puppy better or worse than calling her a dog? I mean, you start messing around with the language and saying, well, what did you really mean? It's a question mark. You start starting a question mark. What did Jesus mean, and how am I supposed to understand this? Some commentators, and no doubt it was, but say, well, Jesus' purpose for talking her this way was to bring out her faith, to show her faith, which it did show. Now, Jesus' own words, the very words that he says here, he says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, he said right before that, he is sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And that is what he is concerned about. That he would not be distracted from his mission. The Messiah was promised to the people of Israel over and over and over again. And now he is entering the borders of a non-Israelite place for a time. And this is a non-Israelite woman coming to him. But he's supposed to fulfill that ministry of the Messiah to the Israelites, and that cannot be changed. That is his mission. And so if we want to see Jesus' words and understand his purpose, we see, right, what he says, I have to be the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I must do the work of the Messiah. He must fulfill the prophecies. Must do it. He must fulfill his mission. And the woman is not deterred by that, but still asks for help. Is that right? He's for the Israelites, the Messiah to come for the children of Israel. And she is right. We see in a variety of places in the Old Testament, but our Old Testament reading shows it well, that God is gathering not only the Israelites, but others as well. And what does Isaiah say? Keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed. This whole section in those verses that are skipped there too, in the verses 6 through 8, this whole section is about the non-Israelite. Those that are not included. And God says, no, you too are included in the promises. You're not excluded from justice. You're not excluded from salvation. But do justice. Follow his righteousness. Follow the Sabbath. Do these things and you show that you are part of God's people. And actually the Messiah is for you too. Verse 6 of the Old Testament reading said, and the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord, to minister him, to love the name of the Lord. Maybe the whole sermon is right there. Did the woman join herself to the Lord, serve him, and love his name? Yes. Right there. She showed that she wanted to follow Jesus. She loved his name so much that she called him the Son of David, the Messiah. She historically is that whole people group did not follow Yahweh. They followed idols. But she was different. She was one that was looking to the true Messiah. Even though she was not Israelite, she was looking to the Messiah. And that is promised in the Old Testament, that whoever would look to the Lord and love his name would be also a part of his people. He says in verse 7 of that Isaiah passage, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. This is a promise to the foreigners, to the non-Israelites. This is a promise to her. Now, Matthew doesn't record how much she knew, how much she understood, where she learned that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, but that is what she called him. These people normally worshipped idols. But this woman called Jesus by his title, asked him for help, and she worshipped him. One thing I'm sure some commentators maybe noted it somewhere, but it struck me that this woman is doing her work as a mother. Her daughter is in trouble. There's a typo in the notes. Her daughter is oppressed. She is watching out for her daughter. Her God the Father, the Creator, has given her this child, and this child is in trouble, and this child is being oppressed by the evil one. And she goes to the exact right person to go to, the Christ, the Son of David, and asks for help. She is entirely within what God has given her to do. She is doing it. I'm trying to take care of my child, and my child is in trouble, and the child is being attacked by the evil one. You see, in her faith, whether she knew the creation narrative and the fall into sin or not, that whole narrative in Genesis 3, she is living out that narrative. For when God talked to Adam and Eve, talked to the serpent first, and said that there would be enmity between the woman and the evil one, and there would be enmity between his offspring and her offspring. Not partnership, but enmity, fighting, striving. And God was promising that the children of Eve were not to be ruled. Their ruler is not to be Satan. Enmity, fighting, struggling, until the Messiah would come. This one descendant of Eve would come and would step on the serpent's head and crush him. But Satan, God said to him in Genesis 3, they are not for you. They're going to be struggling and striving against you. And that is exactly what she is doing for her daughter. She is struggling and striving against the evil one who has come into her daughter's life, come into her life. And now she is going to the one who's going to step on the head of the snake and say, I need help. God said, God made a promise that the snake is not supposed to be over us. And he's oppressing my daughter, and I want to take care of my daughter. Jesus, help me. And she would not give up looking for help for her daughter. And that is a divine, wonderful work, that she is being a mother for her child, finding God, knowing the Messiah who will help her child. How much power does the Messiah have to help her? She says, just a little bit. I know you're a shepherd for the people of Israel. I know I'm not a child of Israel, but even just this little bit, that will be good enough for my daughter. The disciples didn't confess that. Peter didn't confess that. Lord, command me to come out on the water, and then I will believe. Then if it's really you, he walks in the water, and then he doubts some more. He had little faith. This woman says, all I need is a little bit of your power and your promise and your love, and I know it will be fine. And Jesus says, your faith is great. You think about that for our own lives. Well, first of all, and I've preached this, I think, the week, maybe 2 weeks in a row, maybe. We should be very careful not to tell Jesus what to do. You're not doing it the way I think it should be done, but the way, some other way. But do it my way. My way will be the better way to do it, if you follow my plan. We think like this often. And that can lead us into trouble. But rather, how great is God's love and mercy and power that he can help us, and that whatever the struggle is, that there is the power of God there, the love of God there, the mercy of God there for us. It's all through the scriptures to learn that about God. To learn that he truly is our Heavenly Father that cares for us. And then not to tell him what to do, but to tell him our problem. To tell him as we see it, this is the problem, this is the struggle. I don't know what to do. I only need a crumb of an answer is good enough. But I need you to help me. And then no matter what happens, we continue to worship and serve God. Whatever his answer is, however he answers it or we perceive his answer, to continue to worship and love and learn from him. Not to say, you didn't do it the way I think it should be done, so I'm going to stop going to church. And people are doing this all the time. Rather saying, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I am in trouble. I need your word, and I need church even if I'm in trouble. I need you. This woman continued to worship Jesus even when he gave this, to our ears, harsh answer. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not Israelite. I wasn't sent for you. But she came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. She continued to worship Jesus. The Lord wants us to trust in him and his answer and his power and the way he's going to work things out. Not our own way. Not the way we think it should be worked out. He wants us to receive his mercy and his love and his forgiveness. The way he designs. He's the creator, not us. When we think about how Jesus ministered and his final work of suffering and dying for us, would that have even come into our mind? Is that is how God is going to deliver us? As sinful human beings, in our perspective of things, we would never think that the way you defeat Satan is to suffer and die. The way you defeat evil, the way you defeat death is to die. The very basic narrative of the whole Passion Week, we wouldn't think of it that way. We wouldn't do it that way. So also things in our lives. We see things headed in a certain direction, and it scares us, and we know it's a problem. And we come up with a solution that we should do it this way, or we're just going to cut God off, or whatever our thinking is. And he says, no, 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 no. I'm your God. You are my people. Learn from me. I love you. Continue to worship me and serve me. And as this woman was doing, continue to serve those I give you to serve. Continue to take care of family. Continue to do your work. Continue to do school, whatever we're given to do. Continue to do that. That's what she's doing. She's taking care of her daughter. This woman had great faith. We don't know her name. She was a foreigner, a Canaanite. But she knew Jesus. She relied upon Jesus. And even a little crumb from Jesus would take care of everything. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when we don't listen or rely upon you, or when we get angry or think you should do things a different way. Forgive us from those things, but rather lead us with your word and your promises, and lead us to come to you in the name of Jesus, to know that his forgiveness, his death, his resurrection is over all things. Help us to bring our problems to you in prayer and thought. Help us to rely upon you. And in the midst of struggling through different things, help us to continue to worship you and believe in you above all things. For certainly you are our Father and will take us to live with you forever. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.